Welcome back to the Lash Base Podcast. Today's episode is an interview with our Training Academy of the Year winner, Abby Williams of Lux Lashes by Abby. We run the Training Academy of the Year Awards once a year, and we try and make this a very important title to win. She fully deserved it, and as part of the winner's prize, we decided to get her on the podcast to find out exactly how she became award winning, what her story is, and if there's anything that she can share with you to help you grow your training business. Right, let's do this. Okay, so here we are then with Abby Williams, and I don't know if I'm going to be the first person to say this, but she is an award-winning lash trainer officially. How do you feel, first of all, Abby?
This is just surreal at the moment, to be honest.
And for those that don't know, actually, Abby is one of the winners, or the winner of her category, for Training Academy of the Year. It's something that Lash Base run every single year. And we try to make it something that stands out, something that means a lot, and something that the winners truly, truly deserve it. And Abby has just got better and better every single, I say every single week. Like, I know we speak quite a lot now. We have quite a close connection with Abby and Lash Base. But she, yeah, is officially award winning. And that's why we wanted to make sure she was on the podcast so we could speak to her about her journey and how everything has led to a point in which she's got a successful training school. Because I know there'll be people listening, Abby, that will be really keen and really interested in becoming a trainer, or they might be a trainer and they want to see how they can also grow their training business. So that's why we wanted to speak to you.
Perfect.
Right, so I'm going to get into some questions and we'll move through. All right, so enough of me talking. Right, Abby, let's start with firstly, how long have you been lashing?
This August, I think it was 6 years since I'd done my first classic course.
Nice one. And are you still lashing now full time at all?
Yeah, I would prefer obviously to do more training, but I've obviously got loads of clients now and I'm like, they're literally like, you cannot stop lashing now. You have to lash me till I die. And I'm like, okay, that's
fine. Okay, so why did you get into lashes?
Well, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life when I was 18 when I trained. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I was a bit of an anxious little bean at college and stuff. And then I got my lashes done and I thought I could do that. And then I just went and did a course, and that was that.
And how did you pick it up when you first started?
I mean, obviously back then I was like, wow, I am the best. And then now I look at pictures, I'm like, oh. I show my students pictures of what I done, because I was like, everyone starts at this point and it's really hard, but you just have to keep going. And obviously there's a lot of competition now, isn't there, really, with like, in my area especially, there's lots of people that do lashes. So I'm like, you're just going to have to practice every day.
I think that is a great one, because there's so many people that they spend, before they take a training course, they spend a lot of time like getting inspired and looking at people with lashes, or their friends might have lashes, they might have had lashes, anything. And they're all like amazing lashes. Yeah. And then they go to training believing that after that training course, they're going to go away and be as good as what they've seen online. Sometimes trying to balance those expectations for students as well as ensuring they know what they're doing is always a tough one.
Yeah, it's hard, and like, you put a lot of pressure on yourself because you want to be like everyone else. But I'm like, it's like going to the gym, isn't it? Like, you're going to be weak the very first time you do it, and then you go and go and go and you just get stronger. And it's just the same lashes, isn't it? Like, if anything, you just practice. But it is hard when there's lots of good people around and it's basically competition, isn't it, really?
Always, yeah. But with everything, like the lash industry, probably even like from 6 years ago when you first started, there's probably triple, even more so, more people in the industry. But that's normal for any new industry. So there's something I always say, that the industry is not saturated. Like, you probably back 6 years ago were saying, or some people were saying it's saturated then, and it's not, and it's still not, it's still growing. But yeah, that competition is definitely real. So going back onto your original training experience, so when you trained all them years ago. Yeah, can you tell us about your training experience? What was it like?
I think it helped that I got to take my own model, which was my cousin. So that helped me anyway, because obviously it's nerve-wracking going into a room of loads of people you don't know doing something you've never done before. I found that there was quite a few of us in the room. I think there might have been about eight of us training. I didn't like that personally. I don't think I'd like do well in situations like that where I don't know anyone. It's okay now because obviously I do it day in, day out where I meet people that I've never met before. But back then I was like, oh, I don't like this. But I just found, it was quite a big group. That's kind of why I don't train in a big group, because I just felt like I couldn't ask a question because I didn't want to sound stupid, or like that it's stupid that I didn't know something, or I didn't really ask for help because I just wanted to people not look at me and be like, oh, well, she's just really shit. She doesn't know anything.
That's definitely, I bet a lot of people will relate to that, because you're right. I don't often think about it from that side, but if you're going to a training course, a big group of people, there is that feeling of, I don't want to look stupid, but I bet you all the seven other people were thinking the same questions.
Yeah. But then some of them had like previous experience, obviously, with just beauty background. I didn't have anything. So I do ask, when I do training, I ask people, have you got any experience? Because obviously if someone wants to do classic lashes and they've done a lash lift, that makes it a bit easier. You know the eye area, you're a bit more confident in it. But I didn't do anything, and I was just like, I'm going to stab my cousin in the eye. I can't do this. And then I think there was a lot of swearing on that training day. I was like, can't fucking do it, I hate it. And then I done the set, and then obviously I was taking pictures on the train home, like, oh my god, these are just so good, like, I'm going to be amazing. But it is
tough, isn't it? What would you like, in terms of like your training now, with understanding that some people have the experience and some people don't have any experience at all, you ask the question, do you have to change the way you do your training if it's a room full of people that don't have a clue versus a room full of people that are already lash lift qualified, for example?
Oh, that's an interesting question, Jamie. I try and take lots of time, and I don't rush anyone to do anything, but I take more time into really explaining into things even further. But then I guess I do that anyway. I think I just take it into consideration because I know how I felt when I didn't know anything and I was really nervous. And I think I just try and be more of a hype girl as well. Like, no, that's really good. Come on. Yeah, that's really good. And like, because I find that helps me when someone's like that with me. I'm like, okay, no, she's telling me it's good, so that's good. So I think maybe, I don't know.
Okay, well, let me ask you a different, maybe a different way. What makes you different or stand out from other trainers then?
I think because I only do like two max in a group. So is it really a group? Is it a pair? I don't know. But I find I prefer it being more like intimate. Because I know that I just really didn't like being in a big group of people. So I try and have it more small and intimate, and they feel like they can ask me questions, and like we have a bit of like a girly chat, so people feel more comfortable. Whereas I didn't kind of have that in mind. It was just straight in, this is what we're doing. And I like, we have, you know, just try and make it more comfortable. I think it's because I just get anxious in situations like that, and I just would hate for someone to come into my space and feel like that, because I know it's just not nice.
And I guess as well, that's how you've managed to improve all the way up to winning awards for your training, is keeping a group small. I've seen people before, not naming names, obviously, but I've seen people before that do start sort of in that smaller groups, and which is, in my opinion, easier to track your students' progression, to keep hold of case studies, to be there to support them ongoing, like all of that stuff. However, I've seen it when you get popular and busier, so you think, well, I'll just have four people, well, I'll just have six people, well, I'll just have eight people.
It's greedy, isn't it? It is.
Okay, so what was it that made you want to be a trainer?
I'm just one of those people where if I feel comfortable in a space, I'm like, okay, well, I need to do something now that scares me, basically. And I think that's because I'm a bit of an anxious person, like I've said, that I don't like sitting in that space. I like to push myself, and then it gives me something else to concentrate on and just push in. Like, I'm always thinking, okay, so I've done that now. Now what's the next step? And just keep pushing. So I think it was lockdown that I'd done it. And obviously then I had time to sit down. I think it was like a week intensely course to do it. Whereas I probably wouldn't have time to do that if I was at work lashing every day. And I just wanted to do it. I feel like it's just kind of the next step, I guess, if you want to take that step. And yeah. I think I like to say that I'm like obviously knowledgeable and just like to share that, I guess. And from how I felt training, I'd like to have that people feel comfortable doing it and aren't scared, and they know that it's going to, like, you're going to be good at some point. You just got to do it.
Do you think you'll over time try and switch part-time on the lashing and more training, or stick as you've got it?
100%. Yeah, 100%. So I do have my sister works for me, and then I've got another girl that I trained up, Nicole, who works for me now. So the plan is for them to do more, and I still obviously get to do clients, but I would rather train more. But then obviously that comes with getting a new space, and it's obviously more expensive that way, isn't it,
to get
new space and then a separate room for training, a separate room for lashing. And but that's what I would love to do that.
Yeah,
well, it's hard on your body.
Yes, it can be everything.
I'm a broken woman at the moment. Like, my back is not okay.
At the ripe old age of 25.
I know. I've got scoliosis, so I've got a curved spine anyway. So obviously that does not help. And you just get like your wrists ache, like your neck aches, your bum aches from sitting on the stool all day. And I just think, I can't. At 25, I'm going home and I'm thinking, I just have to lay there. I can't do that much longer.
So do you have to do anything to manage scoliosis or anything for lashing?
Yeah, I have to go to the gym, because it is better. Obviously, your body's naturally better, isn't it, when you work out, more flexible and whatever. But when you've been lashing all day, that's the last thing you want to do is go to the gym.
Yeah.
But then I know that my body will hate me for it. And it will just, there's some points where I'm just like, I literally can't do this anymore. Or I get it if I've... You know, when you bend down and you're leaning forward, aren't you, to lash, you can't rest your back or anything. I get like a really bad pain in my stomach where all my like organs are like crushed together from when they are anyway, because of my scoliosis. And then I just make it worse. And I've had times where I've had to say to clients, I'm really sorry, but I actually can't, like, I feel like I'm going to throw up. It's that bad.
God. So that's another reason to try and grow your training side and give yourself that break. Really. Okay. So, onto the training part of things, because there'll be people listening to this that are pretty new to the lash industry. What do you think is most important for new lash techs to learn or know first?
I think I underestimated how important lash mapping is when I first trained. I wasn't really given much of a guide. It was just like, oh, just stick these on and skip that length and skip this length. But that, if when you're first training, obviously, how do I word this? Like, you think to like use really long lengths, it's going to look better, and it doesn't. It just looks shit because they're all long and sparse and straggly because you're just whacking them on. But actually, using shorter lengths when you're training, I find, is better because they just tend to look fuller and more blended in nicely, rather than just using really long lengths that, like, you'd think to use long lengths, wouldn't you, I guess, at the beginning? But actually, they just look horrible.
And is that a part of your training course that you have, where
don't use that length? I'm quite brutal, I think, actually, when I think about it. I'm like, no, don't do that, don't do this. But then obviously, it's like constructive criticism, isn't it? But I'm going to have to tell you, because I don't want you to go away and do that on people.
Because then they will then say, well, I obviously had bad training if you didn't.
Yeah.
It's such a hard balance to have.
It's obviously nice ways to say things, but I find that you kind of have to nip it in the bud straight away, don't you? To be like, no, that's not going to look very nice. If you do it shorter, that's kind of where your bag is. It's going to look nicer, more blended. That's what I didn't do. And now I look back and think, oh God.
If only you knew that, yeah.
Yeah. Why did people pay me for that? I don't know.
Well, okay. So what do you think makes a good trainer then?
Oh, definitely someone that actually cares about the lashing and not the money. Yeah. Obviously, the money is a bonus, obviously, because it's, you know, it's more than what you'd get a day lash in.
It's all business at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, it is what it is. But I would hate for someone to just feel like I've just fobbed them off and because I just want the money. Like, I really think people have to care to train, to actually give people time outside of the training day, like giving them feedback and stuff. And what else? Just being chatty is obviously quite nice because it is nerve-wracking. I don't like going training really because I just find that, although I am very chatty deep down, I'm like, oh God, there's new people here and this, and there's new products that I haven't used and there's new techniques that I haven't done. So being chatty is probably not, like, just to make people feel comfortable.
I think to add to that one, into, like, in my opinion, on what makes a good trainer as well, and you've already touched on it slightly, is the after course support. A lot of company, because people do go, you're a lash artist, and some people, they see the money signs from becoming a trainer. They believe it to be the easier way to make money quicker, which it isn't. And then their focus is on getting students bums in seats, and that's it. They do their day, send them on their way, and then anything extra above that is a hassle. And that's the worst kind of trainer that you could try and find. I think for me, if I was looking for a training course, I'd always maybe, I don't know if this is possible, but try and find previous students to find out how the after course support is. Because I feel like having a trainer that cares, having someone that, you know, you can, as a new person, you could just go, look, I'm struggling with this, could you help, before you're doing your case studies or whatever it is. Yeah. That's, in my opinion, sorry, just to hijack the question, is
because you don't get paid for that aftercare, do you?
No,
it's just because you want to do it. Whereas I'm like, honestly, if there's any questions you have, like if you've got a question about a product that, like, lash based sales, obviously I'll help you guys up all the time. Like, just message me and I'll, like, let you know, like, what my opinion is. And if you just need me for, like, I've just had people that are like, oh, I've got someone who's pregnant, for example, like I don't know if I feel comfortable with it, and I'll be like, okay, well, write this message out to them. And do you know, like, it's hard at the beginning dealing with the general public as well, let alone just lashing.
Yeah.
Because some people are just, some clients obviously can be difficult at some points with obviously specific things.
Yeah, definitely.
But I do get a lot of messages like that from my clients and my students, sorry, that they're like, how do I deal with this? What do I say? Do I correct this, or do I give her a refund, or what do I do? So I tend to give quite a lot of advice about that, to be fair, after.
And that can make all the difference as well, because I think that will then over time increase the amount of word of mouth that you get, like the referrals. Because as soon as you decide to try and fob off a student or anyone, you know that, I think I read somewhere, someone's 7 times more likely to spread bad news than they are the good news.
Wow.
So therefore, all it takes is to have a student feel like they're fobbed off, and they'll go and tell everyone, oh, don't train with that person, don't do this.
Oh, that's my worst nightmare. Yeah. I try and give my all to it, obviously, because it's the thing that I want to do most of. But it's hard.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's a full-on, like I said,
someone's career in your hands. It starts with you.
Yes.
Basically.
And it's definitely not quick and easy money.
No, God, no.
Okay, so I think we covered that one. In terms of, I mentioned, like, word of mouth and stuff, how do you get most of your students? Like, what's your, like, top tip? Where do your students come from? How do they find you?
It's word of mouth, really.
Nice.
I get lots of people that, like, have a lash tech that I've trained in the area, and they're like, oh, so-and-so said that you're really good at training, and they tell their cousin and their friend, and I get more people from word of mouth than my actual Instagram. But then I do find that obviously when I post more about my training on Instagram, then I get more inquiries about it. But obviously that doesn't push me to buzzy post more because we're just so busy lashing all day. It's the last thing.
That's the thing for me. I think with any lash artists or trainers, you're so busy all day, every day, that to then think that you could become some full-time social media expert that just manages to catch everybody in your sales funnel and sign everyone up is just impossible and unrealistic. Whereas creating a great experience, looking after the people that do already trust you with either having a set of lashes or coming to you for training, you'll end up filling your diary, getting fully booked just from that.
Definitely.
And that's what can happen. But yeah, okay, interesting. So another one for, funnily enough, everyone I speak to, they do say word of mouth is the best way that they gain their students or their clients. Yet we all spend so much time stressing over social media.
Yeah,
I wish the penny would drop.
Yeah, it is important, obviously, social media. Like, it looks good and it does make you appealing.
Yes.
But even like the followers thing, like, you could be like, oh, she's got 10,000 followers and I've only got like 2.5 or something, but I'm fully booked for like the month in advance.
Yeah.
So it doesn't mean anything, does it? So I don't know why we do this whole, oh, I need to be massive on Instagram. You just don't.
No, it doesn't mean anything. It's for me,
just a number.
It is, yeah. I think the only difference I would say in regards to that is if you are a lash brand or have aspirations to have your own products and sell products, then ideally what you want is every single lash artist in the world to follow your page, your account, which means that therefore, yeah, you probably would have lots of followers, because that's an indication that you've, if it's the right people, not like bought followers or followers that mean nothing, engaged people that like your stuff. But as a trainer or as a lash artist, it doesn't mean as much as people weirdly think it does.
No, definitely.
Okay.
So I can't think about that anymore.
Good. Okay, so questions that are not related to training.
Yes.
I just want to get your what you think, basically. What are your thoughts on pre and pro made fans? I wanted to ask this question just as always, it's been a hot topic for a few years now. But they're still, it's whenever I do any like polls or anything, ask questions to a group of people, so strange how it's still quite 50-50 as to people that like them or don't like them. So I thought I'd just get your take on them.
I personally don't use them only because I've trained in Russians. So I just do that. I feel like that's just my OG. Like, I'm just good at Russians, but I do have them and I do use them sometimes. And Lash Base, I'm not just saying this obviously because I'm talking to you, but they're the best ones that I've used. And they've definitely come a long way, because when I tried them 6 years ago, obviously when I was just doing classics and they were rubbish.
They were terrible.
Yeah, they would just come off. I hated them. So I think that's what made me not use them in the first place, because I didn't have to rely on them. And I just thought, well, I'll just do my handmade fans anyway, so that's fine. But I really like them. I have them, I stock them, I teach with them. And they're perfect for if you have only done classic training, you don't want to do Russians, you don't even have to do Russian training course now, do you? Because you can just use pre-mades and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I really rate them, but I don't use them. That sounds really odd.
No, that makes complete sense. If you can do it yourself and make each fan personalized, the right size, width, just everything that you want to do from a handmade fan, and it's no trouble to you. Don't get me wrong, I am a massive believer in pre-mades and pro-mades, like hugely, as you probably already are aware. However, I also think if you can make handmade fans,
why not?
Then like, don't feel the pressure just because everyone else is talking about pre-mades and pro-mades. You don't have to change. You don't have to just because you can make handmade fans. So
personalization thing, like that you said, that I think I prefer for me, because like, obviously if you've got like a really fine little lash, like you could just make a 2D fan on it instead of a 5D, and It's fine. Exactly. You've got a set pack of pro-mades or pre-mades. You can't really pick that, can you?
No, that's the thing. If you wanted to do a fully personalized set using pro-mades, you would need every single length and variation available, which to have that inventory to hand is
a lot of money. Have all the different curls and whips and it's a lot.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm probably one of the biggest fans of pre-mades and pro-mades, but yeah, I completely get your point of view and would agree with anyone else listening that is good at hand making volume fans. Just don't feel the pressure to change if you don't want to. It's not like it's good to have them if you don't have the time or if you just reasons. There's always reasons for and against everything.
And handmade fans are really hard.
Yeah.
So for convenience, I completely understand why no one would want to do it. I find I do lots more classic courses than like the handmade ones anyway, because you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to do it. Your sets can look amazing with using pre-mades and pro-mades, and they last just the same.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you're using all the lash-based products along with it.
Everyone listening, I haven't asked Abby to push this in any way.
No, you didn't.
God, right. Okay, moving on, because we're running out of time. I've got a little timer here that's telling us we're running out of time.
Me banging on.
So you're, in a nutshell, your thoughts on pre-mades and pro-mades are...
They're good. Buy them. Get them.
Thanks. From Lash Base only.
Okay. From Lash Base only. No other company.
Nice. Right. So when you're lashing, what do you struggle with most?
I have been thinking about this. This is the question that's stuck in my head a lot recently. Can I say something that's not actually lash related, even though it is?
Yeah, definitely.
I find the mental side of it actually the hardest.
Nice.
Like you go into work and you're not having a great day, or like you don't feel well, or just even like a bit of a mental day that you're not feeling great. You have to fake it. You have to fake that you're like, hi, oh, come in, da da da. Well, how's your weekend? And this and that. But in my head, I just think, I don't care. I just want to go home and I don't feel great today and I just don't want to be here. But like, you have to put on a front that you don't feel like that, or you're not giving your client a nice experience and they leave thinking, oh God, Abby was a bit down today. Like that, no one wants to feel like that after they've had their lashes done. I think that's the hardest thing for me, is having to be happy and talkative all the time. And sometimes you're just not.
That is an amazing one. That is a really good one. I'm sure. Yeah, that is. Yeah. I did not think that was going to be the answer, but that's a huge one, because I get that. I bet loads of people listening think exactly the same. I struggle coming into work every day and being friendly to all of the team.
Yeah, and you have to talk to lots of people on like Instagram, and sometimes you just think, I just haven't got the capacity for this today. I'm not feeling it. You're not always happy. You're not always in a great mood. And obviously being like a self-employed lash tech, you can't just take a day off because you don't feel like it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can, but then you just make a
rod. But yeah, then you worry and you... give yourself problems over thinking about what damage you could do to your own business based on all of that. Yeah, I can understand that. It's a huge struggle and a huge pressure. Yeah, that's definitely my hardest.
Yeah. I think that's not talked about enough, to be honest.
I agree. Wow.
I felt like I put a downer on that then.
no, that's a guess. That is great. And that's something that I'm going to talk more about actually just going forward, because that is such a huge one. Okay, well, thanks for giving us that. Okay, last question, because we've got about 4 minutes max left. And that question is, what are your plans for the future in the lash industry?
I think I want to be a big fish in a little pond. Is that the right saying?
Depends what you mean by that. Be a little fish in a big pond.
In my area, I'd like to be the biggest. That's the person you want to go to, whether it's me or my other two employees or training with me. I want to do that. I don't think that I would want to create my own lash brand or anything like that. I just have a nice training academy and I'm just booked and busy all the time, and I feel a balance.
Yeah.
So I'm not always working 24/7 like I do at the moment, but then they're the steps that you kind of take, aren't they, to get to that point.
Yeah, you do have to. And in your head, I know you might not have an answer to this, in your head, how far away is that if you were to get everything right and go on your journey, when are you going to achieve that? When do you think?
Realistically, I think I'm going to give myself like 3 years. That's quite a long time, but it takes time, doesn't it? It's time. Building a business is hard.
Yes.
So, yeah. And obviously that depends on the other two, taking on my clients and stuff like that. It's you've got to build it up. Maybe that's realistic.
Okay. Well, we're going to leave it there. Once again, I just want to say congratulations on being an award-winning lash trainer. It was well and truly deserved. As you know, the team here love you and love all your stuff anyway. Your work's amazing. If anyone doesn't yet, actually, Abby, can you just let us know what your like Instagram handle is and stuff like that so they can follow you?
My Instagram is Lux Lashes by Abby.
Nice one. We'll put it in all of like the notes and everywhere we share it anyway. We'll make sure it's in the captions and things like that.
Thanks for having me.
That's all right. I'm glad we finally got you on.
One of my biggest career days to date, Jamie.
Oh, that means a lot. Good. Right. Okay. I'm going to leave it there. Thank you everybody for listening. And we'll be back very soon with another episode of the Lash Base podcast.